Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I woke up around 4 in the morning to the sounds of my 11-year-old daughter, Madison, screaming. My wife, Sarah, had just started to sit up in bed by the time I ripped open our bedroom door. My heart was racing. In my panic, I hadn't even realized I'd picked up my revolver from within my bedside table. Something was terribly wrong. Sarah began to cry out in terror behind me as I raced across the top floor of my house. I found Madison's door still shut from the night before. I gripped the doorknob and pushed my way inside, nearly falling onto the floor as I did so. Madison was laid out on her bed, her covers bunched up in a pile on the floor. Her hair was wet, as if it were covered in sweat. She was pressing hard against her stomach with both of her hands, screaming loudly. "Maddie, what's wrong?" I cried out, kneeling beside my daughter's bed.
"Daddy, please, help me," she screamed, sobbing.
Maddie began to roll around in pain. Sarah appeared in the doorway behind me.
"Oh my God, what's wrong?" she said, entering the room.
I looked over my shoulder, my eyes wide.
"Go call an ambulance," I said,
watching Sarah as she stared at her daughter.
"Go."
Sarah seemed to understand my words the second time. My wife raced from the room, heading for a cell phone. I stood beside Maddie's bed, lifting my daughter into my arms. Maddie began to cry even harder, burying her head into my shoulder as she gripped her stomach.
"Just breathe, Maddie," I said, carrying my daughter towards the staircase.
Maddie continued to cry as I moved her to the bottom floor of the house. Sarah stood by the front door, looking out the window as she talked on the phone.
"Yes, yes, my daughter. She just started screaming."
I set Maddie down carefully on the couch, kissing her on the forehead as she rolled over onto her side, screaming into the couch cushions. Sarah had started to sob. She had never been very good at containing her emotions.
"Give me the phone, honey," I said, glancing back towards Maddie.
Sarah handed me the phone, gasping between her sobs, and headed towards the living room.
"Hello?"
I asked, placing the cell phone up to my ear.
"Hello, sir," the operator said. It was a woman. "Are you the father?"
"Yes, yes I am," I said, looking back at my family. Sarah knelt beside Maddie, her hand rubbing our daughter's shoulder.
"I'm going to need you to give me your address, sir," the woman said,
sounding amazingly calm for what was happening. That was her job, I suppose. But it still surprised me nonetheless. I told her our address at the end of the street, just past the big yellow house, I said, heading towards the living room.
"All right," the woman said, her mechanical keyboard clacking away in the background. "An ambulance should arrive in just a few minutes. What exactly seems to be the problem?"
I rubbed my forehead, struggling to think over Maddie's screaming.
"I don't know, she's grabbing near her stomach. Maybe it's her appendix or... I don't really know."
The woman continued to type away. "Just tell your daughter to hang in there, sir. Help is on the way." I knelt beside my daughter, her face contorted in immense pain.
"It's going to be okay, Maddie, okay? The doctors are coming," I said, brushing her black hair out from in front of her face.
She stared up at me with scared eyes as I stood back up, moving towards the front door.
I could just make out the voice of the operator coming through the phone over the sounds of Maddie's screaming. The phone returned to my ear. "Hello?" "Sir," the woman said, "can you hear me?" "Yeah, I can hear you," I said, stepping out onto my front porch. "Please, remain on the line," the woman said. "I'm sorry," I said, looking back into the house. "I was just talking to my daughter." "That's fine, sir," the woman said. "Help should arrive in a few minutes." I rubbed my palm against my forehead, listening to the early morning air. I was certain I could hear the ambulance in the distance. I think I hear them." "I'm sorry," the woman said, a brief pocket of static escaping from the speaker. "I can hear the ambulance," I said, staring out into the trees through the house across the street. The flashing red lights of an ambulance caught my eyes. "Sir, can you hear me?" the woman said, a continuous static beginning to blanket a voice. "Hello?" I called out, wincing as the static grew in volume. I lowered my phone, staring at it. I could still hear the white noise from where the phone hung near my waist. I cursed softly, hanging up the call and jogging downstairs as I made my way towards the street. I could see the ambulance now as it turned onto my street. The ambulance parked in front of my house, the tires nearly screeching as the driver slammed on the brakes. The vehicle was white, with a bright red stripe running horizontally across the side of it. The name of my city sat above the stripe. On the driver's door, in bold, black lettering, sat the vehicle's identification tag, F-283. The back door of the ambulance swung open. A larger man jumped from the vehicle, landing on the asphalt. A thick, black beard hung down to his chest. "Hello," the man said, stepping towards me. "Thank you so much for coming so quickly," I said, moving towards the front door. The man followed closely behind me. "Of course," he said, nodding. "Bring me to your daughter." I nodded, pushing open my front door. Sarah spun to look at me as I entered the house, a look of relief crossing her face. Maddie continued to cry loudly into the couch cushions. "The doctors are here, Maddie," I said, looking back at the man. He stood in the entryway of the living room, looking at my daughter. I stared at the man, frowning. "What's the issue?" "Pick her up. Let's bring her to the vehicle," he said, unmoving. At the time, I found his speech odd, but I didn't have time to think. I stepped into the living room, lifting my daughter up off the couch. Maddie yelped in pain, returning her head to my shoulder. As I turned, I could see that the man had already begun to leave. I began to move towards the front door, afraid that I was hurting my daughter in the process. I stepped out onto the front porch, noticing that the man had laid out the gurney behind the ambulance. I moved slowly down the steps, careful not to upset Maddie any further, and approached the vehicle. The man looked up at me as I approached. He reached out, helping me lower my daughter on the gurney. Maddie cried out in pain as she was set down, gripping her right side tightly. I watched as the man rolled the gurney up to the back of the ambulance, lifting it into the vehicle. He stepped up into the back, looking towards me as he did so. I followed the man, placing my foot up onto the step and entering the ambulance. I knelt beside my daughter, lightly squeezing her hand. Her crying had softened in volume, but tears continued to pour from her eyes. "You're going to be okay, baby. You're safe now," I said, repeatedly squeezing and relaxing my grip on her hand. Sarah stepped up into the vehicle, stepping around the other side of the bed. "Only one of you can ride in the back," the man said, shaking his head. "Are you serious?" Sarah shouted, frowning. "We don't have time for this." "It's all right, Sarah," I said, giving my wife a look. "You're heading straight for the hospital, right?" I asked, looking at the man. He nodded in return. I looked back to Maddie, rubbing her arm gently. "Everything is going to be okay, baby girl, okay?" Mama's going to ride with you to the hospital. I'm going to be right behind you in the car. The doctor will keep you safe, I said, kissing her on the forehead. I love you so much, Maddie.
I love you too, Daddy, she said, groaning, as another wave of pain passed through her body.
I pushed myself to my feet, leaning across the bed to kiss Sarah before stepping out of the vehicle. I landed on the asphalt, moving around to the side of the vehicle. My keys were in the house. I needed to go back in and grab them before I could do anything else. I looked to the driver's side window, nodding in appreciation at the driver. He turned to look at me, his round face covered by a thick black beard. I frowned, listening as the back door of the ambulance slammed shut. Ambulance F283 began to drive off down the road, its sirens blaring loudly. I groaned, pushing aside my fear. I had to focus. I needed to get to the hospital. I ran up to my front door, listening to the sirens as they began to fade away in the distance. It was the worst time for me to have lost track of my keys. I fumbled around the house for what felt like several minutes, eventually finding them in the pocket of the pair of pants that I had already checked once before. I groaned loudly in annoyance, heading back towards the front door. The sirens could still be heard. I swore that they sounded louder than they had before, but I knew that was impossible. I stepped outside, moving quickly towards my driveway. The car's headlights blinked as I unlocked the door. I would need to drive quickly, but I was sure I could reach the hospital at the same time that the ambulance did, if not just a few minutes after. I pulled open the front door of my car, suddenly freezing. In my focused state, I hadn't realized just how close the sirens actually sounded. I turned, watching, as an ambulance moved quickly down the street in the direction of my house. The ambulance parked by my mailbox. The back door swung open, two men hopping out onto the street. They began to unload a gurney as the driver opened his own door, giving me a look of empathy. "Good morning, sir. Is your daughter just inside?" I shook my head slowly, watching the men as they began to wheel the gurney up to my house. "What is this?" The driver frowned. "I'm sorry, do we have the wrong house?" The other men paused, looking towards me, as I began to stammer. My daughter just got picked up a few minutes ago. "Picked up?" he said, looking over at the other men. "Did someone else bring her to the hospital instead?" "Yes, another ambulance," I said, leaning my arm against the roof of my car. The driver did not respond for a moment. "That doesn't sound right, sir," he said, looking again towards the other EMTs. "Isn't that possible?" I asked, looking wildly between the men. I was beginning to panic. "Can't another ambulance just arrive before you guys? That happens, right?" The man stared at the ground for a few seconds before looking back up at me. "Just give me a minute. Let me go make a call," he said, heading back towards the ambulance. I stood by my car, my mouth stuck open as the two EMTs began to whisper to one another. Dread had started to fill my gut. The police were unable to find the ambulance that took my daughter and wife from me. Every hospital in the area swears that there is no F283 in service. The police seemed to want me to think that they believed me, but I knew that they didn't. It has been almost a year since it happened. I live every day in emotional pain. I have called for an ambulance 6 times in the past 2 months. I think that I believe I can find my family that way, but nothing is pointing me logically towards that being a fact. I might be losing it. The thought crossed my mind that perhaps the ambulance wouldn't come because I wasn't actually injured. Surely that couldn't be it, right? I'm sitting here now with my revolver just beside me. What's the worst that can happen? Maybe I'll lose my foot completely. I don't really care. With a bullet in my foot, maybe the ambulance will return. Maybe I'll be able to see my family again. My sweet Maddie. God, I miss them both so much. I've messed around for far too long. The police are no help anymore. They really don't seem to care, frankly. I know they're still out there somewhere. I just need to find them. I'm putting this out as a warning. I don't know who came to my house that morning or what they wanted, but I want you all to be careful. Those you trust may turn out to be the ones who wish to hurt you the most. And please, God, if your ambulance has the tag F-283, don't go inside of it.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.